such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Yay. I cannot believe it's Friday, and I can't believe it's December.
Wow.
We're into December. I can't believe it. This is not right. Things shouldn't, the time shouldn't be going so fast. Can you believe that?
Yeah, you always hear this, and I've heard it more now that I'm going that way. I'm getting older, and they say, you know, the older you get, the quicker it goes. But I don't know, I've had younger people tell me.
Younger people are saying the same thing.
You know, it's going by so quick.
I blame technology.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tony, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
But I did the whole show. I did the entire show by myself, and I thought, God, I really don't need Tony.
I'll be leaving right now. Yeah. It was a good show. I was listening to somebody.
It was okay.
It is an interesting thing when you're not here, and I know you won't listen to it.
Yeah, no.
But I tend to, you know, I listen to the show when I'm not here.
But I prefer to be. I prefer that you're here.
So I like to be here.
And I forgot. It was only maybe about 15 minutes before the show that I realized you weren't going to be here. And
wow. See, I don't know how to do that because I told you what was going on, and I just thought to myself, "Was he going to remember?" Because I know you don't.
No, it's okay. I'm running from one thing to the next, and so 15 minutes before, I thought, and then it kind of freaks me out because I think I kind of bounce things off you, or you bounce things off me.
I kind of know now.
Or you set me off on this direction, or whatever it might be. So
I knock you off course.
Knock me off course.
But I know Nick's here, so if I'm not here, he can.
Yeah, Nick was always busy over there, but I had a you know, and we're gonna look at the second day of the novena, but let's so we don't
go right to prayer. Yeah,
we'll go right to prayer. Yeah, and we pray for our nation, for the church. We pray for the world. Everybody had your own intentions, but I just have to say that our nation needs a lot of prayers right now, and so we do pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Just need the prayer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I have to make mention of this again. This is a conversation, so. Mm-hmm. George, I think he's listening to the radio. So I got a note from him today, and I realized what I did. So he listens, I think, quite often, but he also often is at Mass. And so yesterday, because of the confessions, I started Mass about almost 15 minutes late, which I don't like
it
to do.
It doesn't happen.
It shouldn't happen because
people... It doesn't happen a lot.
People, you know, they're waiting, and, right. And so I'm aware of that. I just hate to turn people away, and even if you... try to bring people to keep the confession very, very short. It's a challenge, but I gotta be more disciplined. But I think so. Because of that, I was went into the Mass already flustered because it was late, and I felt bad for the people. And I guess I must have apologized about six times and overdo it. But then I think I tried to cram in to the homily the whole show yesterday because initially I wanted to speak about the Our Lady of Guadalupe because the novena began, and then also relate it to the feast of St. Francis Xavier, and also the gospel was quite pointed as well, and it just and I don't realize it because I know what's going, I know what I'm thinking. But I realize that when you try to cram all this, which is what I do on the radio, you know, it's where we just talk, but it's just trying to pull it into a short homily.
Not easy to do.
No, and it's like, and he's very honest with me, and I truly appreciate it. I really do, because I need to hear that too. But it's like, you know, this and that, none of this was, so if somebody says, you know, you're like a chef and you're, it's all over the place, but in the end, you know what, you see, oh, this is what it was last night. It wasn't, it was just, everything was just all over the place. So you're
basically saying yesterday was a real mess, and normally all the other times you kind of throw everything in the air.
Yeah, whatever, you know, it's
it's hard to believe.
Thought process is never really organized. And so this is where you guys are going to help me out this, hopefully this hour. I say everybody out there, because I need your prayers. Because I normally have been trying to do the letter for the bulletin, and then I take that and use that as the homily, so it helps me to keep focused, because I'm not a focused person, not an organized thinker. And this week it's been so busy because of funerals and all that. We've had it's just been a very, very busy week. But what week is not busy?
Exactly.
But the problem is I wasn't able to get a letter done. I took some of the reflections from the breviary, from the Liturgy of the Hours, Advent reflections, and I just use that.
It's always a good way to start, I think.
Well, it is, but the problem is, and you know, I'm not, as we're now, here it is Friday, we're going into the weekend, and I've got to pull some, I haven't prepared a homily, so you can maybe help me today, but
good.
Because I do want to talk about an interesting article that I read, and I want to kind of tie it into the gospel. But before that, let me just share the second day of the novena. And I you know, really wish we were going to be on the, you know, we had 9 days, but people, you can also, I think I said the other day at Mass through the website, I don't know if it's through the website, but certainly through Flock Notes, you can get the novena, because they're beautiful, beautiful reflections. So I shared yesterday the first day of the reflection. Today is the second day. Of course, we're going into the weekend, so we don't have radio, and then I'll be gone next week. And then the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is on the 12th of December. People are really quite upset because they've canceled the pilgrimage to
that was
the
sad
shrine.
When you were talking about that, it touched me. I didn't.
Yeah. And evidently, because I just I haven't had a chance to look at it, but the cardinal has issued a video, and I guess they're really trying to explain to people why it's necessary. They mentioned that parishes can celebrate, but we have to celebrate it, because it usually brings a lot of people out, and they really want to keep it at a limited number. And so I think I probably mentioned, but I'll repeat again today, that we have a limited number of people. You have to register. There won't be the traditional Las Mañanitas.
See, that hurts.
Yeah, and
really hurts.
It seems a bit. There's so many with this pandemic. There are so many contradictions, you know.
See, I wonder too. As we're talking, will people just still choose to stay home anyway because they're afraid?
Well, I think, you know, that's why I always believe, you know, that we should use common sense, you know. So if people, and I know there are people who really do, they haven't come back to church because they are You got to respect people's feelings or how they how they're responding to this pandemic. I already we all know a lot of people have had the virus, and for the most part, it's been, as we were talking just before the show, like a bad cold, or maybe even not a bad cold, you know, or a bad flu, or maybe not a bad flu. Some people don't even, you know, they barely even know that they've got it. So, and then of course others, you know, unfortunately, it's it can. If you've got other issues, health issues, it can, especially respiratory or, or heart condition or whatever, it can be deadly. So it's, you know, nobody wants to be responsible for anybody getting the virus, but like, it's like anything, it just happens, you know. It happens. It's like, everybody is kind of stigmatized right now. As you're wearing the mask, you're not wearing the mask, you're keeping 6 feet away or 10 feet away. I don't know what they're saying now. 10 feet away. It's, you know, it's why is it, as I heard yesterday on one of the news channels, you can't cross a certain street in New York. There's certain areas or regions that are, and this is also the case in California now, but in New York, restaurants on this side of the street, this is just in Staten Island, are allowed to be open if you cross this street on this side. Because of the number of cases, restaurants are closed. So
yeah, that makes no sense to me.
You know, so evidently in California now, you can't, they're in total lockdown, and you can't travel from one region of the country to another. There are certain boundaries, so you can stay within your boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, telling people you can stay within the neighborhood here. You can't cross over Division Street. You can't go north of Ashland, North Avenue, or west of Ashland, or east of the express, where you got to stay in your own little area. So, as if the virus doesn't, does the virus know boundaries? I don't know. But, you know, everybody's got to do what they've got to do, and we all take precautions, and I have to keep emphasizing that for the people at the parish now, too. And I started doing the chaplet from the sanctuary, so that at the end of the Mass, and let people maintain social distancing, and that I can, because the problem with the priest now is that if the priest gets the virus, or if he's tested positive, even if he's asymptomatic, then the parish closes. Have to close the parish. And so I'm not too worried about myself. I was tested. I'm negative. I did, just because there was also a rumor going out that I was positive, but I'm negative.
Isn't it funny? You have to declare, I'm negative.
Yeah.
If somebody says, well, okay, I took a test. Well, I'm negative.
But, you know, having said that, negative or, well, if positive, I would have had to close a parish.
Right.
Even being negative, I've got to do what I can so as not to, you know, I got to take care of myself so that I'm not the cause of the parish being closed. And so that means everybody's got to do their part, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And yet our ministry is people oriented. It's about people. You know, so
I wonder about this too, because even, you know, they're getting strict on certain restaurants. Okay, I understand that. If that's the thing, let's do it. But talking to a friend of mine who actually owns a restaurant, he tells me, well, Tony, there's nobody in this restaurant, even our workers, nobody has it. How is this measured?
Yeah, like the guy in the restaurant or the pub. It's a pub restaurant, I think, in Staten Island, where the owner was arrested the other night because they declared themselves what do they call that? An autonomous zone. They were imitating the anarchist in Oregon.
But of course, they got arrested.
But they got arrested.
And the other ones didn't.
He got arrested, and I listened to an interview with him, and there's been no outbreak of any kind of, you know, there's nobody that's gotten the virus from the restaurant. How do you know? I don't know. Anyway, just crazy. So they had the other night, they had the sheriffs out there, and they had a blockade so nobody could enter because the people were brought naturally out there protesting. But
right.
Anyway. Okay, Nick, he says, break time. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I want to go right into the reflection for the second day on Our Lady Guadalupe, and then I hope I give you the chance to help me a little bit with this homily preparation for Sunday. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know that a princess helped introduce St. Nicholas to the Western world? This happened in the year 972 when Princess Theophano, the niece of Emperor John of Constantinople, brought a mosaic icon of yours truly, St. Nicholas, to Rome as a wedding gift to her husband-to-be, Otto II, the future emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. After their royal wedding mass celebrated by Pope John XIII in the old St. Peter's Basilica, Princess Theophano became the Lady Di of her age. Suddenly, everything she did, including her love of St. Nicholas, seemed to be copied by everyone. In fact, besides me, there's one more thing she introduced to the Western world that you'll use during your meal this Christmas. The dinner fork. So as we raise our dinner forks this Christmas, let's remember the royal princess who worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we proclaim, Christ is born, glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So today is the second day of the novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Just to remind you, Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, appeared to Juan Diego, St. Juan Diego, in 1531 on Tepeyac Hill in Mexico. She was decreed Our Lady, Pope Pius XII decreed Our Lady of Guadalupe to be the patroness of all the Americas. That means the United States and South America. And is Canada considered part of the Americas? I don't even know. This whole continent, I believe it might be, but so
I think it is.
I think so. Yeah, we're all connected. Saint Juan Diego was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1990. Of course, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is celebrated on December the 12th. This is the second day of the novena. Everything has to do with the apparitions. Juan Diego was a poor, deeply. Deeply religious, a very humble Indian in his 50s. And a small group of Indians that converted to the faith, it wasn't until the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Juan Diego and subsequently the miracle, the leaving of the image on the tilma, which was a miraculous image. It's been studied for centuries, and it survived, by the way, bombings and fires and all that. It can't destroy it, as people have tried to. But the Indians recognized the image because God had already prepared them for this visitation of the Mother of God, and so it was the greatest mass conversion in the history of the human race, 9 million, I think it was about 9 million Indians, who within a very, very short period of time converted to Catholicism, became Christians, were baptized, and began to receive the sacraments. So that's quite interesting. And but today's reflection is entitled "Mary, Our Model of Prayer," and this is a translation from the Spanish. Every mother is a model for her children. The first lesson we have to learn from our Mother of Guadalupe is prayer. In the holy image that she gave us, she has her hands clasped before her breast in a reverent attitude, as if she were presenting to God our supplications and those of all her children. The effectiveness of the intercession of Holy Mary of Guadalupe, her prayer, made Mexico and other American nations end their idolatry with their sacrifices and bloody rites, sent legions of saints, wise and zealous missionaries to preach the true religion, and incline the hearts of those simple inhabitants of the New World to embrace the faith and to ask for holy baptism. Brothers and sisters, to obtain the graces you so much need from God, you must pray every day, for prayer is the ordinary means that the Heavenly Father has put in your hand so that you may obtain whatever is necessary, both in the spiritual order and in the material order. Your needs are many, as are the needs of your family, your country, the Holy Church, and the world in general. Why do you not ask your Mother of Guadalupe for the remedy of all those needs? Ask her to give you back or keep the peace of your soul. Ask that the love of Jesus Christ return to that dear person who has left his side and who may be in danger of losing himself forever. Ask for her blessings, ask for blessings on your beloved homeland, so that it may always remain under her maternal empire. She's the Empress of the Americas. Ask for blessings on the Holy Father, the Pope, and those who represent him. Pray for her wayward children, for those who deny her, insult her, and hate her, because they are also her children, to whom she lavishes so much more love when they are most in need. Pray above all so that the number of faithful children who love her, venerate, serve, and spread her devotion will increase day by day. Let the model of your prayer be the humble, confident, ardent, persevering, and charitable prayer of the Virgin of Tepeyac. So pray with love to the Virgin of Guadalupe, Queen, Lady, and our Mother, intercede for me and all your children of Mexico and the American continent. So this is the translation of the reflection for the day from Spanish to English. But this idea of prayer, let me just mention this, that what's interesting is, we can't comprehend Christians who do not have devotion or affection to the Mother of God, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I know as I was growing up, I think I might have mentioned it yesterday, or I might have mentioned it while I was rambling during the Mass, but when I was as a young boy, I was, and as a teenager, even into high school and college in Florida, at the time when there were mostly this part of Florida on the panhandle, it was we were very few Catholics, but mostly Baptist and Pentecostals, Assembly of God, different Christians of different denominations were always on the attack. I remember even in grade school, and I had actually forgotten about this, but a classmate of mine reminded me at the first class reunion that I went to after 10 years, the first and the last, that she remembered that in grade school, because we had lived there, my father was Air Force, so we would move around, and we lived there at one point. Then my father went to Vietnam, and then he came back, and we moved back to Florida when I was in high school, as he retired from the military. So, but she, we went to grade school together, and she remembered me, always remembered me defending the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she was a very staunch Baptist, and they thought that was a kind of idolatry, right? Mm-hmm. And for us, it didn't make any sense, because she's a mother of Jesus, who is a mother, who's God, and she's therefore the Mother of God. And this understanding of the mystical body of Christ, a communion of saints, was very, very foreign to them, because they, in their churches, it's Jesus, only Jesus, well, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, but they have this, or it did, I don't think it's so much the case today, because many, the most devout Catholics today happen to be those who have converted from Protestantism to Catholicism. They're the great defenders of the faith, whereas many Catholics are rather lukewarm or indifferent or even hostile to the teachings of the church. They say there are more, the biggest group of, can't call it a religious grouping, but the biggest, what would you call it, the biggest church would be non-practicing Catholics, mm-hmm. because you take all the Protestants and you unite all the what is it, 35,000 plus denominational Christians, these from ecclesial communities, but are not part of the Mother Church. You put them all together, and the Catholic Church, if you just count the baptized, is still larger, over a billion. But how many Catholics are practicing or devout or even semi-devout Catholics? It's really very few today. And I think that's the case by the way, that's something that people should note, that the crisis that we're going through in the Catholic Church is being felt in all the different, among denominational Christians as well as within Judaism, believe it or not. So this is a universal crisis because of the secularism of society with the influence of the media, but it's also through the media, thank God, that many are finding their way to the truth, because many people can't even find it in their own parishes or from their own priests, but they go to the internet and they find the websites where they can get solid teaching. But in any case, in the reflection, there's the emphasis on Our Lady, of course, because she is the Mother of God. And as I read yesterday, she came and asked for that a temple be built on this hill of Tepeyac. And the purpose for that, and that is pretty much the case anywhere she appears, is she'll ask for a temple or a church or a sanctuary. And for what reason? Because it's precisely in the church that her son is made present in the celebration of the Holy Mass. So the Holy Sacrifice. I was just telling the children this morning that in the Mass, we had the children's Mass, and because we have a limited number of days when we have the Mass during Advent, I was already speaking about, well, the season of Advent, and then it leads to Christmas, and we have to be alert and ready, because as Jesus came, he will come again, but when he comes again, he will come to judge, separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, and so let him find us doing what is right and good, obedient to the commandments, that we're praying, that we're nurturing our relationship with the Lord, so that we will be received into heaven. But the significance of her asking for this, and by the way, she appears in the apparition to Juan Diego. She appears as a young maiden, pregnant with child, and so she's coming to give birth to in the New World, to the Indians. She's birthing her son. And so she's asking for a temple because And this was explained to the children that that when we come to Mass, it's as if we're going to Bethlehem, like the angels in haste, they go to see this wonderful thing that God has done, the birth of the Messiah, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she's birthing her son, but it's also the place of the, most especially of the sacrifice, and this would be the, this would, interesting to make the correlation here. When Jesus, who came to save us and redeem us, and he did so by being raised on the throne of the cross, he was crucified. And he said before this at the temple where sacrifices took place, where the lambs and the goats and the bulls were sacrificed to God as a preparation for the sacrifice that would cancel out all sacrifices would be the very God made flesh who would offer himself in expiation for sins, offer himself in sacrifice. And with that, in fact, as I've mentioned before on the radio, Jesus prophetically said, and indeed it happened, not too long after the temple was destroyed and Jewish sacrifice came to a halt, it ended, so that what you have today is rabbinic Judaism, not the the temple Judaism, where sacrifice is offered. There is no longer within Judaism the priesthood. There was a priesthood in the Judaism at the time of our Lord, but he cancels all that out because he is the supreme high priest. He is the ultimate, the definitive sacrifice that obliterates all other sacrifices. In the church, at the Holy Mass, a sacrifice on the hill of Calvary that is to save us from our slavery to sin and death, but renewed, perpetuated, represented on the altar in the Mass in a mystical way, in a hidden way, under the hidden guise of bread and wine. So we call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We enter into that sacrifice. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, our spiritual worship, and then we're fed with his body, blood, soul, and divinity so that he reproduces life in us and we can be in the mission, giving witness to Christ in the world. So when she asked for the temple in on the hill of Tepeyac, it was, again, to establish, to birth her son, and to establish the place of the altar where that sacrifice would obliterate, would bring an end to all the sacrifices offered by the Indians. And they offered what sacrifice? But human sacrifice.
Yeah.
Human sacrifice to placate the gods. And so she, and indeed, with the apparition and the subsequent conversion of the Indians, all sacrifices come to an end. It's really quite phenomenal mm-hmm. when you think about it. And so she, so as the church in Europe is going through its own conflict, I think I spoke about that yesterday. Here, the church is being born in the New World. Some people take offense to that because it's the world was it, the people were there. You know, mm-hmm. but in this part of the world. So it's really quite interesting. So, but our focus on the Blessed Virgin Mary emulating her prayer, her disposition, her receptivity to the inner working of God in her life, and as they say so often, she's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but she's ever present and alive with us, interceding for us. And she shows us a way, and what is that way? That way, of course, is her son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. She lives to do the will of God, but she's part of the, she's a mother of the family, as I think I mentioned yesterday in the reflection. It was was presented, given to us. She said, "I am your mother." Jesus from the cross said, woman, these are your children, or to John, this is your son, but John represents the disciples of Christ, and son, this is your mother, behold your mother. And so as a mother, she teaches us the importance of prayer And that is, she intercedes on our behalf, so we too intercede for one another. And even the idea of going to Mary for prayers, it just doesn't, it's not an issue for us because it's what we do, one to another. How often people ask me to pray for them, or we go to somebody who we, naturally you go to the priest, or you know somebody who's especially a devout Catholic or a Christian, and you ask them to pray for you because you know that they, many people feel that they're distant from God, they're far away from God, they come into a crisis and are trying to, you know, they can go to God, but they feel like perhaps a little bit unworthy because I've ignored God, I've been distant from God, I've been in a life of sin or living a life of dissipation or disorder, and in a crisis, you know, we'll go to somebody who we know is close to God, asking them to intercede for us. This is exactly what we do with the saints. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, in a moment, she's the queen of all saints, higher than all the saints. But she's not God, but she certainly lives, continues to live, to do the will of God. And so she's very active in the life of her people, even to this day. And that was established again in on the hill of Tepeyac when she appeared to St. Juan Diego. So that's the second day of the reflection, Mary, our model. Okay, so we'll take a break and be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560, or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. To register and to participate in the Holy Mass, and for more information, go to sdstanschurch.org. That's sdstanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. So, all right, help me out here.
Okay.
There is, let's see here, I was going to go into this yesterday. The readings, I got the right readings here. What's interesting is we don't speak about one of the themes that runs through Advent, and it kind of certainly was there at the end of the liturgical year as we were coming toward the Feast of Christ the King, and then it picks up again as we move into Advent, and that is that God will admonish, that God will come as judge at the end of all things, at the end of time. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He's laid out the blueprint. He shows us. He's shown us a way. The whole Sermon on the Mount, that there's your blueprint for Christianity. Begins with the Beatitudes, and then Jesus saying, "You know, I've come not to take the law away, the Ten Commandments. And this is how you're supposed to behave. This is what you're supposed to do. How you're supposed to live." And it's really, you know, the desire is that Jesus would want to reproduce his life in us. But this idea that that everybody's going to go to heaven, while we would hope that would be the case, that's not biblical teaching. He came to save all of us, but there has to be a response. And so the what you hear so often at this time is Jesus says, watch, be sober, be alert, be prepared for death and judgment. At the same time, we just are fixated on trying to tame or domesticate or reinvent Jesus. It's the we've talked about it often here, but you know, God's love is not a permissive love; it's a demanding love. And Jesus warns us repeatedly of the reality of judgment and the strong possibility of hell. I'm actually looking at the reflections from Monsignor Pope. Who's really does just a very keen thinker. And so he's reflecting on the reading from Isaiah, and he breaks it down. This is from last week, but our need for a Savior. And he distinguishes five sicknesses which beset us and from which we need rescue. Because when we say he came to save us from what? And he says, we need to be rescued from drifting, demanding, depravity, disaffection, and depression.
Wow. All the D's.
In order to be raised to dignity. So dignity.
That's good.
So drifting, demanding, depravity, disaffection, depression, and to be rescued from these things in order to be raised to dignity. So what does he mean? So the drifting, let's just look at the drifting. It is common human tendency to wander or drift gradually to the point that we use an example of a ship that just wanders off course. The captain stops paying close attention, and the boat drifts farther and farther off course. At first, no one notices, but eventually, the boat is headed in the wrong direction. And the captain did not suddenly turn the wheel and shift 180 degrees. He just stopped paying attention and began to drift bit by bit. And so it is with some of us who may wander. We may wonder how we get so far off course. Mm-hmm. We just gradually fall away from the practice of the faith. So I would add to these D's for the discipline. Right? We no longer live the discipline of the faith, and we get disconnected and drift away. Those are two other D's, right? Disconnected and drifted, mm-hmm. drift away. So that's the drifting. And so what happens is bad habits become hard to break. We lose our holy fear and reverence for God. Our hearts become hardened. This is all signs of the drifters, you know. Now, once you get caught in that, it's important to, you know, refocus attention toward God. But what he says is often— because Isaiah blames God. He says, somehow it is God's fault before letting us wander because he allows us to do it. It's true that God made us free, and is very serious about respecting our freedom, how else could we love God if we are not free? But Isaiah in the reading, he blames God. Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you? It's your fault, you know. What he's getting at is that, you know, that some of us are so far afield, so lost, that only God can find us and save us. And indeed, the Lord does seek out the lost sheep. So something to be said for that. Now, the demanding, the text is, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you while you wrought awesome deeds that could not hope for. For such as they had not heard or from of old." No ears heard. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because I see we're running out of time. But there's a human tendency to demand signs and wonders. Our flesh demands to see, and when we do not, we are dismissive, even scoffing. Dismissive, another D, right? Mm-hmm. Dismissive. So the tendency has reached a peak in our modern times when so many reject faith because it does not meet the demands of empirical science and a materialistic world, rejecting God with the demands of faith because we cannot see him with our eyes, he is not here, therefore we may do as we please, but we demand a sign, the wonders, before we will believe. Force me to believe in you, in other words, demanding God, force me to believe in you. Because, you know, deep down we're made for God. And so we deep down we know this, but at the same time we want the free reign of the flesh. We want to do it our way. We don't want the discipline of the faith. So our flesh demands to see, but in the end, even after seeing, we often refuse to believe because it means we have to enter into the discipline, right? All right, so that's one. I mean, and this is part of the rebellion, right? A rebellious flesh pouts and draws back into resentful rebellion. But we need a Savior to give us a new heart and mind attuned to the small, still voice of God in a strident world. The next one is depraved or depravity. Because in the text, Isaiah says, "Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. We're depraved. We've slipped into depravity," which means we've become crooked or deformed, lacking what we ought to have. We're in a deformed state. We've been unmindful of God. Our minds are weak. So we turn in on ourselves. We barely think about God. We've lost our capacity to think about God. And this is so true. This is what boggles my mind, how people, I often ask people, you know, do you pray every day? Do you think about God? And it's amazing when people say, no, never really do. I can't understand that. But it's part of this, you know, the drifting and the, and then we get caught up in a life of depravity. Our minds become darkened. The culture has really kicked God to the curb, and therefore we become unhappy. We're angry. There's this anger within us. Boy, I tell you, you really see this with the left, don't you? They're the very angry people. Those who espouse a leftist kind of ideology, they're very angry people. They're often non-believers, you know. They're very open about that. We become undistinguished from others. You know, we should be set apart. We should confound the wise of this world. We shouldn't be just like everybody else. And so, you know, our main goal seems to be, you know, save us, O Lord, from our mediocrity and our fear, because it also creates fear within us. The other thing is just coming out of that toward the end of the hour is disaffected, which means that we've lost our passion for God, because in the text, Isaiah says There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. In other words, we have no passion for God. We get worked up about politics and sports and the lottery and television shows, but when it comes to God, many can barely rouse themselves to go to Mass, to pray, to read Scripture. We seem to find time for everything but God.
We're so
disaffected. It's so true, yeah. Disaffected. And again, the human tendency is to blame God because God has hidden his face. God has not moved. It's not God who has moved. It's we who have moved away from God. And then finally, depression. So the text says, all our deeds, all our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. One of the definitions of depression is anger turned inward. So I'm not talking about somebody who's clinically depressed, but we lived in a depressed kind of a state. Our good deeds are described as polluted rags. We're frustrated, seemingly hopeless, in a seemingly hopeless situation. We have an addiction to sin, injustice. The devil wants to diminish what little good we can do or find in ourselves. And so we say, why even bother? Unhealthy guilt. And so we cry, come, Lord Jesus, save us. Savior of the world, we need a Savior. And Advent is a time to meditate on that need. And that will, if we're disposed and receptive, will raise us to a place of dignity, even as we acknowledge we are sinners, humbly acknowledging our need for God. So that's basically, I did that very, very quick, but it's going to try to bring that into the reflection this weekend.
It's something to think about, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, sure is, yeah.
It's good to hear.
Just got to think of those D's, right? Anyway, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a really wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Ciao. Thank you.
the truth lifted.